1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. This is Your Turn, a live call-in show featuring spirited discussion and debate about issues that matter to the community. Your Turn is sponsored by People's First Community Bank, the best bank in the neighborhood. Stay with us to hear what Northwest Florida thinks. Better yet, call in at 623-1330 and tell us what you think. It's Your Turn here on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. Now, here's the host of Your Turn.
Thank you very much for tuning in. My name's Renee Giacchino. I'm corporate counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom. To learn more about my organization and to sign up for our free lunchtime liberty update, please visit our website at www.cfif.org. Well, I will be with you for the next 2 hours, this version of Your Turn, the program that I've dubbed Meeting Nonsense with Common Sense. And it's my pleasure to welcome back to Your Turn, Tom Kilgannon, the faithful listeners out there, those few of you, actually, hopefully more than just my husband. But anyway, I'm getting a note from my producer that he did, in fact, read the book. But the faithful listeners may remember that we had Mr. Kilgannon on not too long ago when we talked about his book called Diplomatic Divorce, Why America Should End Its Love Affair with the United Nations. He's the president of the Freedom Alliance. And again, it's my pleasure to welcome back Tom Kilgannon.
Renee, it's great to be with you. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing well, although I am saddened by the loss of John Bolton at the United Nations.
I am as well. In fact, my organization, we've been working real hard. The folks that visit our website will know this. We've been working real hard to try and get him confirmed, get it through. And in fact, yesterday, the president of my organization had spent about 3 hours in the morning drafting up a plea to send out to the folks that sign up to get some updates from us, asking them to make some phone calls on behalf of Mr. Bolton and try and get this thing put through. And he just about finished it and was ready to push that send button when the headline news came across that Mr. Bolton, and this may be news to some folks still, that he put in his resignation. What happened, Tom?
Well, I think what happened was that the support was not there with some key Senate members. Now, if you look at the Senate as a whole, my understanding is that John Bolton would get 58 to 60 votes in the Senate if he actually made it to a floor vote. But there were some key senators, both Democrat and Republican. Chris Dodd was one of Connecticut. Lincoln Chafee, who is a worthless Republican senator out of Rhode Island, were the two who are really holding up the nomination of John Bolton in the Foreign Relations Committee. And because these two egomaniacs could not put their personal biases aside against John Bolton, we have lost one of the great public servants that has ever served this country and who has ever served at the United Nations. I sincerely believe that John Bolton is the best ambassador we have ever had at the UN, even better than Gene Kirkpatrick or Daniel Patrick Moynihan. He has shown himself and proven himself to be somebody who stood up for American values, protected the American taxpayers, and really represented this country well. And for that, he got his wrist slapped by the Senate, and it is very unfortunate, very disappointing that our Congress does not want good public servants.
Tom, what's been the response, if any, from Capitol Hill? I mean, have his supporters come out and basically echoed what you said? I mean, have there been any comments that have come from Chris Dodd or others in the Foreign Relations Committee?
No, I have seen very little of that, I think, and it just goes to show that I think too many in Congress are basically worthless. They are absolutely worthless on the Republican side. Nobody stood up and said, we're sorry to see him go. If I have missed something, I'm sorry about that, but I have not seen any Republican senator stand up, with the exception of Tom Coburn out of Oklahoma, who has said that we have lost a great public servant. I think Democrats obviously are very happy because they never wanted John Bolton in the first place. And the reason they don't is because they don't want a strong ambassador at the United Nations. They want the United Nations to give us our orders. They want Kofi Annan to direct our foreign policy. They want the Security Council to block our efforts because, as we have talked about, Renee, the United Nations is an arm of the Democrat National Committee. And so Democrats are going to do everything they can to help Kofi Annan and Mark Malik Brown and the incoming Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to thwart the efforts of this administration in this country.
I shudder to think about it, but there was some talk, and in fact, I think, Tom, you and I maybe even spoke about this when we talked about your book, Diplomatic Divorce, that at one time Bill Clinton was harboring thoughts of replacing Kofi Annan, and now we know that that's not going to be the case. Any chance that he will be the next in line for John Bolton's seat?
Bill Clinton?
Yes. Oh, gosh, please don't tell me I just raised something that's going to have people thinking about it.
I don't think it'll be Bill Clinton, although the way this White House is working these days, I wouldn't put it past them. I think if you were to see a Democrat in the White House, that you would see the possibility, if you see a Democrat in 2008, you would see the possibility of somebody like a Bill Clinton. Although if I think they would try and orchestrate a removal of the current Secretary General and try and get Bill Clinton in as Secretary General and not merely as an ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
What I have seen out of this White House are some names like George Mitchell, who would be next in line, some very uninspiring names out of the State Department, who would be potential nominees for the role of ambassador at the United Nations. And it's just very disappointing to see this administration be so uncreative, so uninspiring, so defeatist in their attitude so far in terms of what they would do with John Bolton. First of all, they didn't fight for him. They basically let the Democrats throw him under the bus. And now when it comes to replacing him, they show little effort to put anybody up there who would even fit in the mold of a John Bolton.
Well, what's the timeline on this? I mean, does Bolton stay on? I mean, obviously, you know, let's think back. He was a recess appointment. I still don't quite understand how he's been in that position. What, has it been a year now that he's had a recess appointment?
It has been a little over a year. When it's all said and done, he will have served at the United Nations for about 18 months. His recess appointment will expire when the new Congress meets in January.
Okay, so
that'll be January 5th or 6th, thereabouts.
Right, so that's the impetus for the timing of his letter of resignation yesterday then to the president, right?
Correct, and the way the recess appointment works is that the president will appoint somebody like a John Bolton to a position when Congress is in recess and not able to hold confirmation hearings, and then that appointment is good until the remainder of that Congress. So in theory, if somebody were appointed in January of 2007 as a recess appointee, they could theoretically serve in that position for 2 years until a new Congress took place.
All right, so now I get it. That's the timing of it all. I mean, he was gone regardless then come January 5th or 6th.
That's correct. And I think the administration looked at possibilities for, well, is there any way we can get him up there? But they did not follow through on any of them. And I think John Bolton, you know, look, I'm sorry to lose him, obviously, and I've sung his praises. I think he's an outstanding individual, a man of honor and integrity. But on a personal level, I'm happy to see him go because the UN doesn't deserve somebody like John Bolton. He is too good for them. He has had to take 18 months out of his life to consort with crooks and criminals up there on the world stage. He has served this country well. I think he has done an outstanding job, but he deserves better. He deserves better than the UN. He deserved better from the United States Senate, and frankly, I think he deserved better from the administration.
So where does he go now, do you know? Has he made any reference to that?
Well, there are rumors floating around the Internet that he'd be looking for a job in television. I'm sure, you know, somebody like John Bolton, he is an extraordinarily talented individual. I would not be surprised to see him perhaps write a book and hit the speaking circuit. I hope that for his sake he's able to do something that he really enjoys. He has given a great many years to public service in this country, serving at the State Department, serving in an arms control capacity. And I think, I don't know him well, but, you know, it's probably time for him to enjoy his life, make some money, and relax a little bit. He has certainly earned that right.
Well, he could write a new tell-all about the UN, no doubt.
There's no doubt. He has seen some things up there. He's seen it firsthand, and he has seen the way the Democrats really are kowtowing to the United Nations and allowing this institution to set American foreign policy and to undermine our sovereignty. And I think I would hope that he stays active in the public policy arena and works to let the American people know and really let elected officials get them to understand just how evil this institution is. The United Nations is not a friend or an ally of the United States, and too many people in Congress are under the illusion that it is. And that would be the great public service that John Bolton could perform once he leaves the United Nations, if he chooses to do so.
Do you think it's in him? I mean, does he have the type of personality? I mean, I suspect that he does, and that was one of the reasons that I was rather excited about him when he got the nomination, because I do think he has the type of personality that he's not one to mince words. Do you think now that he you know, will be stepping down, if he were to write a book or get on the speaking circuit, do you think he would tell it like it really is?
I would hope so, and I would think so, and I do think he will stay active. What I know of John Bolton is he is somebody who loves his country, and he's going to continue to serve his country and try and help us out in any way he can. He has done it before, where he has served in positions without pay. He has set aside his own personal advancement in his career in order to serve his country, and so I think he's going to remain in the fight. He is a very deep, strong believer in the values that make this country great. He has done his best to expose other leaders of the world to them at the United Nations, and I think he's going to stay very active. That is the kind of person he is, and those are precisely all the reasons why we needed him at the United Nations, and unfortunately, Democrats are making it very difficult for good people to serve in government.
How much say, I mean, certainly it's the administration that will select the next one. You mentioned George Mitchell, I think you said. And have they floated any names over? Have they got a checklist of, you know, well, this one would be okay or that one wouldn't be you know of?
I think the Democrats are going to play a strong hand in this. They clearly, when Nancy Pelosi held her press conference the day after the election, she said that she wanted Don Rumsfeld gone, and it wasn't but 45 minutes later that the president acquiesced to her demand. And, Joe Biden said that he didn't see the need to have a confirmation hearing for John Bolton. And a week later, we see Bolton give his resignation. So
that's scary.
I think that the White House is... I don't want to say they're taking the marching orders from Democrats, but they're certainly not putting up a fight.
They're trying to make nice, maybe.
Yeah, I think a lot of these elections have taken the wind out of the sails over at the White House, and I have heard some names floated around. Former Senator Mike DeWine was one.
Mm-hmm. From Ohio?
From Ohio. And I even heard a rumor this afternoon that over at the White House, the name, now, Renee, hold on, the name of Lincoln Chafee.
Oh my gosh.
Was floated out there as somebody who could replace John Bolton.
Well, that's now, about as ridiculous as Bill Clinton, if not more.
If that is the case, then what we need to do is send a team of psychiatrists over to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and have some people checked out over there.
Well, we better be careful about how much, too much you say. I mean, if that should happen, then they might come knocking at your door. Listen, Tom, we've got a question from Bill. Can I go ahead and take it?
Please.
Okay. It's your turn, Bill.
I just wanted to let you know that other than your husband, you got one other listener out here.
Oh, you are sweet.
Anyway, I just want to make a comment. Bolton is too brusque. How about that?
Why do you say that?
I'm saying I hate the UN. He's too brusque for those wussies.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You see
where
I'm coming from?
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, because I'm no lover. If it was up to me... the UN headquarters would be moved over to some place in Africa, because those people that are working in the UN right now today are making more money than they could mostly in their own countries, correct? They're living high on the hog, and really and truly, if they went back to their own countries, they would not live as well.
No,
do you have a comment on that?
Well, I think the idea that John Bolton is too aggressive is one that... that Democrats floated out there. They were afraid that if John Bolton were to go up to the United Nations, that he would embarrass us, that he would not be diplomatic, that he didn't know the ways of the world and how that institution works. Now, you have to... They made a very big case out of that. People like on both sides of the aisle, Chuck Hagel from Nebraska, Joe Biden from Delaware, both Republicans and Democrats were saying John Bolton just does not have the temperament to serve at the nice, polite, dignified United Nations.
In other words, he's not going to roll over.
That's right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to put that in context and go back to September of this year when Hugo Chavez was up there spitting profanities against our president and our country. And where was Chuck Hagel and where were Joe Biden and where was everybody saying that this is not the kind of dignified diplomacy that is supposed to take place at the United Nations? They didn't care. So in other words, when Ahmadinejad goes up there and calls us a terrorist nation, when Hugo Chavez spreads anti-Americanism, when Kofi Annan says that we're the least generous country in the world, all of that is fair game. But if John Bolton is to stand up for motherhood and apple pie at the United Nations, we can't have any of that.
Yeah, amen to that. And guess what? I don't think a Nathan Hale or a Patrick Henry could take Bolton's place either, could they?
No, I think John Bolton would good attempt at the United Nations.
But okay, I just want to get my comments in.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. Yes. Can I play devil's advocate for a second? Because after Chavez got up there and did that, I don't recall reading a lot in the paper from John Bolton. I don't recall. I mean, I know the media kind of picked up on it and when they ran the story, but I don't really see any sort of a rebuttal. Did I miss it?
Bolton rebutted that, and I think you know he was taking the line that he was trying not to dignify that, and for him being up there, that was probably the right move for him. Certainly, you know, back here in Washington, it was only Charlie Rangel, a liberal Democrat out of Harlem, stood up and said, "You don't come into my country and denounce my president." And this is the kind of twisted logic that we have on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, but you do come into the country and speak ugly about our soldiers. We can come back to Charlie Rangel's comments in a little while. I mean, that's a whole separate issue. Listen, Tom, I don't mean to cut you off, but we do have to take a short break. I hope you can stay with us through this short break. We're going to have about 5 minutes left of the remaining segment. And I want to talk to you, if you can stay on, about why this issue matters when you talk about national security. Can you stay with us?
Happy to.
Okay, I hope the listeners will stay tuned as well. We will be right back after this short break.
My dad wants all-you-can-eat catfish. My mom wants steak. My brother and I want chicken. But since we're not old enough to drive, we have to eat with our parents. That's why we love David's Catfish House. They're best known for their delicious catfish and famous coleslaw. But they have other great items on the menu, too. For a great time for the whole family, come to David's Catfish House. And for you catfish lovers, remember, there's no better tasting catfish than the catfish you'll get at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish House, open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 9, on Dogwood Drive near the Milton Post Office.
1330 WEBY.
Nothing makes a better Christmas morning than a gift of fine jewelry. Hi, this is Mickey Ridge. Come visit my wife Janine and I at Santa Rosa Jewelers. We've been your hometown jeweler since 1981. Rings, necklaces, bracelets, earrings, watches, journey jewelry, circle jewelry, past, present, and future jewelry. A huge selection to choose from. We know jewelry, so we can help you select just the right piece to make the perfect gift. Don't buy cheap jewelry from a drugstore or supermarket or big box store. Select fine jewelry from Santa Rosa Jewelers, where you know we'll be here for you for a long time after the sale. Shop the mall stores if you must, but come see us before you buy anything. You'll find that our jewelry is of superior quality and our prices are lower. Santa Rosa Jewelers can almost always save you 50 to 75% off mall store prices. Your perfect Christmas gift is waiting for you now at Santa Rosa Jewelers. Come see us. Shop where Santa shops. Why else would we be called Santa Rosa Jewelers? On Santa Rosa Street, just one block west of the courthouse in Milton.
Why does religion, which I deeply believe in, sometimes make some people cruel? Hi, this is Dennis Prager. For interesting and enlightening discussion on these and other topics that affect you and this great country we live in, tune into my show weekdays from noon till 1 here on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. You'll hear the Prager perspective on a variety of moral and ethical issues. My show is also a welcome break from all of the political talk. It's the Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right here on 1330 WEBY.
Christians have prayed for years, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." But God's will has not been done on earth. Will this prayer ever be answered? Call 1-800-234-DAWN for the free booklet, The Kingdom of God. This kingdom is coming, and it will bring peace and happiness to all mankind. Call 1-800-234-DAWN. Ask for the Kingdom of God.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
We're talking with Tom Kilgannon. He's the president of Freedom Alliance, and we are talking about John Bolton's resignation and what's up next for the United Nations. Tom, so that I'm not negligent in doing this before this segment is over, can you give out folks your email address so that if they want to look up more about Freedom Alliance or maybe want to shoot you an email, how they can do that?
Sure. It is our website is freedomalliance.org. That's freedomalliance.org. And my email address is tom.kilgannon@freedomalliance.org.
Okay. And how's the book Diplomatic Divorce doing?
Well, it's doing great, and I thank you, Renee, for all your help in bringing it to the attention of your listeners. And it's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and it makes a great Christmas present.
Well, that was going to be my comment. Yes, Diplomatic Divorce, Why America Should End Its Love Affair with the United Nations. I now want to do Diplomatic Divorce, or I guess Diplomatic Marriage, Why America Should Pay Attention to the Issue of the United Nations. I mean, we talk about a lot of other things, some of it quite meaningless, tomcats, marriage over in Italy and the breakup of Britney Spears. Those seem to get a lot of attention, but not a lot of folks necessarily talking about this issue. What does the UN and whoever is put into that position, John Bolton's former position, what does that mean for national security?
Well, I think there are really two main reasons why we need to continue to pay attention to the United Nations. And one is the undermining of our sovereignty, the imposition of global taxes, taking away our guns and things like that. And the second, as you say, Renee, is this issue of national security. And three main areas there that we have to look at in the coming year. Obviously, we still have this issue of Iran trying to acquire nuclear power and nuclear weapons. And Ahmadinejad was in the news today issuing threats against the European countries that they had better not get behind sanctions, either in their own countries or through international institutions like the United Nations. If you were watching some of the Sunday shows about 2 weeks ago, King Abdullah of Jordan was there talking about the possibility for three civil wars in that part of the world next year, in Iraq, in the Middle East, and in Lebanon. And so, those are going to find their way to the Security Council in one form or another. And without somebody like John Bolton, who is a staunch defender of Israel in addition to the United States, we have to be concerned about what is going to happen to our ally, Israel, in that part of the world.
Sure.
And then thirdly, of course, is the issue of North Korea. And they continue to, anytime they are not in the headlines, they continue to rattle their sabers and make noise with their ability to cause trouble in Asia. So those are areas that we have to watch out for. And
all great reasons. Listen, we've got about a minute left, and I know John's got a question, and I shouldn't have asked mine. I should have let him on, but if it's okay, I'm going to let him take the last minute. Go ahead, John, it's your turn.
Yeah, hey, I think maybe they ought to go ahead and nominate Cynthia McKinney for the post.
That's a good one.
There's going to be a lot of names floated out there, and I think what Freedom Alliance needs to do is work with organizations like CFIF and others and vet these candidates and bring to the attention of the American people the qualifications or lack thereof of some of the names that are currently being floated by the White House.
John, I like that idea a lot. In fact, I may steal it and forward it on to our folks. We're always looking for something we can do to help educate the public, and I'll give you credit for it even. Okay, that's all the time we have in this segment. Again, Tom Kilgannon, he is the president of Freedom Alliance. He's also the author of the hot book, Diplomatic Divorce, Why America Should End Its Love Affair with the United Nations. Tom, thank you again for coming on and talking with us this afternoon.
My pleasure, and Merry Christmas.
Okay, thank you. The same to you, and we will probably have you come back once we hear some more of these names, and you can give us your thoughts on the candidates.
I look forward to it.
Okay, we'll be right back after this short break. I hope you'll stay tuned.